Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm so delighted that you're able to join me this morning. We have a gentleman that we're going to be talking with in just a moment who decided to step out of the paradigms of professionalism that he was within. And in doing so, his lifestyle, his business, everything was deeply affected. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to step away from something that is your comfort zone to explore the unknown? Well, I think you're going to find Daniel Ryan's story an interesting one. The book that he wrote is titled Healing from Heaven, A Healer's Guide to the Universe. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I was intrigued when I learned about your background. You have a Bachelor of Science degree in Human Biology and a Doctor of Chiropractic degree. However,
yes,
you ended up evolving into becoming a healer that utilized this experience and education that you had. But you also stepped into a very different paradigm. You entered the realm of the mystic and spiritual medium. Daniel, you've got to share with my audience how this journey started and how you discovered that this was an arena of understanding that you wanted to share with other people.
Well, it goes back before my professional education. The impetus for this was, as a child, and kind of the arduous journey I went through in my family, but my particular family, everybody has their stuff, but me trying to emancipate from my family skeletons, and then empathically feeling things from other people, being in a group of people, and then feeling their stuff, so to speak, and then spirit speaking to me at the same time. So I literally thought I was crazy when I was younger, and it was kind of my secret because people didn't understand when I tried to explain to them what I was feeling. And it didn't make sense to me either. You know, I assumed this was all me because I was feeling it in my body and hearing the voices in my head. So it led me on a journey of trying to make sense of it. And that's how it began, really.
Now, as you evolved, here you are, you're questioning things, as most of us do when we're young, and you decided that you were going to step forward into the realm of the spiritual, into what is often described as mystical. Now, as you said a moment ago, you had experiences as you were growing up. There were things that were happening, things that you were hearing, that you were feeling. And I think many of my listeners can say, wow, that occurred to me. And I think that's one of the reasons why writing our story is so important. You
Absolutely. Got
a message. Excuse me, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead, sorry.
You got a message from Spirit in your journal that you wrote down. You said, eyes pierce the veil in the absence of fear. Feel the earth between your toes daily to allow your mother to embrace you. As your heart breaks open, allow your joyous tears to quench your newfound thirst. And when the breeze of spirit kisses your face so dear, know India's sweet nectar is here. You were in India. Tell us about that experience.
Well, so first of all, for those of you that don't know, when you go to India, you experience India. You don't vacation in India. And what that means is as soon as you come out of the airport, your senses are assaulted, especially if you're from the Western world, with the pungent smells and the beggars and the poverty, etc. And automatically, your mind will go to judgment about sterility, about cleanliness, about health, and, you know, all your defense mechanisms will come up. So as you are there, it has a way of creating this catharsis within you that causes all your stuff to come up all at once. And you get to look at what you believe, basically. So as all your fears or limitations come up, you get to look at what you believe. And it's very cathartic.
You talk about the word intention in your book, and you said while you were in India, you recognized, discerned, that the vital component in breaking through belief systems is addressing the obstacles that you have to overcome. And this you related to relative to experiencing other dimensions. Now, there might be individuals, if they heard this conversation, said, oh, good Lord, we've got the woo-woo special going on here. But that's
right.
Not the case. There are so many aspects of life that we don't understand, and those in science often want to compartmentalize. You know from your training that there are certain things that you have to be very grounded in. There are certain perspectives of understanding that have evolved that are valid. You have stepped into this other modality. Did you find that challenging?
Absolutely. The modality found me. It wasn't something that I chose. So as I followed my intuition from an early age through these experiences, Spirit was leading me along and grooming me to what I'm still becoming. And so my mandate was to surrender to what my intuition was telling me. And that's what led me here, really. But, you know, I've been in professional practice for 24 years and I've had a very successful practice. I'm still in private practice,
mm-hmm.
as well as doing seminars and things. But, and had a very successful practice here in Hollywood with a lot of celebrities and things in my practice. But the problem was the traditional chiropractic board, the medical board, they don't value a lot of things that are not tangible, supposedly. But the interesting thing is if you look in the PDR, the medicine guide, 80% of the mechanisms for the medicines are idiopathic, which means they don't know the physiological mechanism of it. They don't know why it works.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been so it was very challenging for me to kind of come out of the closet with being a medium because I had to, first of all, trust what I was hearing and seeing and feeling, and then, you know, to step out and to trust that the information is correct and do this in front of groups of people is very challenging because a lot of old belief systems will tell you that it will be negative and tell you that it's not accurate what you're seeing or negate you or, you know, that negative mind drift that happens. That's why
mm-hmm.
your show is so amazing to teach people about how to be empowered mentally.
I think that your statement is a very good one that you've just mentioned, and thank you for the compliment. I really feel that for someone to be a truly skilled medium, they have to be in a positioning of detachment. Because when you are that information resource, that is all you are. You're nothing more, you're nothing less. That's all you are as a facilitator for information. And I think to learn trust, I know that has been such a big issue with me on various levels, and I think it is with anyone like yourself. Because if you don't have someone to talk to, if you don't have someone to relate to, then you might get a bunch of mumbo-jumbo. And you have people that maybe are not very skilled, want to be super colossal in their talents, and maybe they have a very small level of capability and talent, which isn't good or bad. It's just where they are. And many times when people like yourself are going through this depth of growth and understanding, realizing that you're a part of this facilitation to bring an awareness into people's lives that they have purpose, they have value, there are those on the other side that love them, that care for them, they are not alone. There's so many different things you can express. It really is a challenge because you need to develop that sense of understanding that you have, one, the capability of communicating, which obviously with your many years of being in practice as a chiropractor and facilitating people's wellness, you had to develop that. So that
yes.
you could very easily fold over into the other. And I just think that many times the biggest detriment we have is language, being able to communicate. And you have been able to move in to that trust zone. You've been able to speak in front of people, realizing that you're not it. You are the facilitation process. And that is something that's so important, and I just feel it's great. I want to share one of your stories that you have in the book, and it's about Spanky. Of course, I have a real soft spot when it comes to animals. And this was just absolutely adorable. Tell us about Spanky and the experience that you had with this delightful dog.
Well, Spanky came in. I was treating his owner, actually Jackie, and that's interesting because this Saturday I'm actually doing a seminar in her yoga studio in Long Beach at Trilogy Yoga. But she brought Spanky in, and apparently what happened, they went camping, and Spanky was, you know, spunky and was chasing a cow and got kicked, she thought, and had all these disc problems in the neck. So she was wondering if I could do something about the dog. You know, their anatomy is similar. So I thought I was just feeling his spine. And as I put my hands on him, I should back up and give a little history. She inherited this dog from a gang member.
I love that.
That she met. She was in an alley in Venice, California, I guess, and this little dog, this like puppy, came up to her and was wagging his tail, and she was petting him, and the gang member was a little ways behind her, and he said, you know, I think you should take this dog. He doesn't deserve this. And the story is they were using him as bait in dog fights.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know exactly what that means, and I haven't researched it, but all I can imagine is that, you know, it would get the dogs riled up and they want to, you know, tear into them. So she took Spanky, and you know, they had this lovely relationship. But she brought Spanky in, and they were so connected. She had, and the owner had lost her father, so Spanky, and it turns out, really created filled a void for her. Where that missing area from her dad. So he came in, and I put my hand on his chest, and he said to me, as clear as day, he said, can you tell her to stop moving my bed? This is telepathically. He didn't
mm-hmm.
speak it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said, can you tell her to stop moving my bed? Because she's moving my bed. And she's moving everything around in the house, and I like my bed by the window, and she's changing everything around, and I'm a lot more sensitive than she thinks I am. And she needs to understand, and, you know, he's going on and on. And he's this pit bull, you know, pit bull Rottweiler mix, and mean-looking dog, and he's just such a sweetheart. So I start laughing because I'm like, are you kidding me? What, am I Dr. Doolittle now? So
oh, I
look at her and I said, did you move his bed? And she put her hand over her mouth and her eyes popped open. And she said, "Oh, my God, did he tell you that?" I said, "Yeah, he told me you're moving his bed and you're making him nervous. And you're moving everything around in the house. And he wants his bed back by the window where it was." and she said, "Yeah, oh, my God, I can't believe he told you that. Last night, you know, I was moving the furniture around and I moved his bed. And he was looking at me really weird before he went to bed, and then he sat there and he's staring at me as if he was trying to tell me something right before he went to bed, and he finally just let out this prodigious sigh like, oh, and he just climbed into his bed like I wasn't getting it or something. I knew there was something I wasn't getting, but so she said, yeah, that's exactly what happened. And so that was hilarious. I thought it was pretty funny. It's one of my favorite stories, too.
Well, Daniel, one of the positive components of your book is that not only are you willing to share these stories that you experience, but you also show that when it comes to the skills of spirit and mind, there's not a limitation. And I think many people will buy in to the fact that if they're capable of doing one thing, they can't do another. And one of the gifts that you have been given is to share with people that they need to be alert, they need to pay attention, not think they're nuts, but to really pay attention. And I think that from a professional positioning, as you have had through your training and life experience, that is very comforting to people. And when you're training and giving your seminars, what your talks, whatever your programs are that you do, that really makes people feel very comfortable. And that I think is a very positive thing to do, because I think the more that we are able to talk about the natural gifts of spirit and how they are meant to be harmonic with life, the more important it is. Now, you also had an experience about seeing what was called a double murder. This story, I think, is important to share because you were able to give some real good help to people. Tell us about John, his sister Vicky, and how they ended up coming into your life and you saw what you saw.
Well, they came to me. I keep my chiropractic profession separate, by the way, for legal reasons, obviously. But they came in to me for a session because he came to me. His sister had come to me originally, and her father had come through, and we were able to communicate with her father. Now, so she never told her brother this. They were raised Catholic, and she kind of kept it from the rest of the family. And finally, she admitted it to him, came up in conversation, and he was so intrigued, he called me right away and wanted to come in and talk to his dad. Well, so he made a point. He came in, and I was describing the spirits that were there to communicate with him, and that wasn't his dad. But I knew they were there for a reason, so I kept describing them. And then what he realized was these were ex-employees of his that had actually been shot. He had a car lot, and some gang members, I guess, came in and to steal a car, and they just shot. They were on the car lot working, and they just shot him and took the car. So they came through, and when it finally dawned on him who it was that I was describing, it just leveled him, and he started crying. He says, "Oh my God, I know who it is. This is," you know, 'cause he was focused on trying to connect with his father. So he wasn't really thinking about these other spirits that were coming through. And we're able to convey messages from them for their two families and provide a lot of healing there. And then his father came through for him after. But that was a tremendous healing that happened there. And you know, what you were saying about the learning curve, I wanted to mention. People think that you either have the gift or you don't. And I'd like to remind people that we all have the gift. It's just a matter of getting out of the way of our divinity, of our natural gift. Instead of thinking that we're getting something outside of ourselves, it's something that's already within us that we just need to reveal. That's the biggest misnomer that I run into. And so what I do most of the time is help people release cellular memories and stagnant energy patterns in their body to remove these blockages, to access their intuition more easily, to access other dimensions. And then talking to spirits or using their intuition for daily activities or business decisions, whatever they need to, is a very natural phenomena. It's not something that you have to get. It's something that you already have. What you have to get is you have to get rid of these limited ideas and really expand. So it's kind of a opposite of where we're trained, really.
I think so. You have a knack for writing poetry, which is quite nice, and you have a poem in here I wanted to share with my listeners. It's called The Circle of Life. The midnight breaks, the dawn falls upon our shoulders, the first light washes the soul. My mind beckons, I do not comply, forever lost in the magic, I'm content in my undoing. Falling, the undeniable sensation of the wind rushing through my hair. The dance of divinity I feel before my eyes, no pretense, no pressure, no possibility of control. The freedom unfolds with surprise, and coming upon a daisy, a smile. A thousand smiles pour through sweet deliverance from our self-perpetuated confinement. The decision is to live, not through a mundane existence, but an ecstatic dance of divine alchemy. So it is, the circle of life is always complete in its expression. I really like that poem. I thought it was quite lovely. And I think when someone like yourself can speak up and speak out, telling about your experiences, as in your book, Healing from Heaven, conveys, I think it brings a sense of comfort to those individuals who perhaps are going through similar experiences and do not deal in fear. I think of a very close friend of mine who is a superb medium, but she hates it. She blocks it. She's afraid of it. She denies it. We have a conversation every time I see her. And she'll say, I just don't want anything to do with this. And I said, okay, if you don't want anything to do with this, but you're an excellent medium. You're probably far superior to me. So why don't you just get comfortable with it? I don't like it. Don't want it. She sees spirit. She goes through all kinds of things. And some of the experiences she felt were very negative. And I think what's important is when you can recognize that there are honest, ethical people that you can have conversation with, so that you can get out of the fear that encompasses you. These talents do run strongly in her family, but there has been a very, very heavy attitude of disassociation. And when someone like yourself becomes aware, I think it's very good, again, that you're expressing what goes on. Now, you have a story in your book about a woman named Kasia, and her great-grandfather. Now, this is something that I think is important, because when someone is a medium, and when you're being communicated with those people on the other side, you're not going to have choice. You don't go in and push a button and say, okay, Akasha, grandfather number one, great-grandfather number two, you're going to stand in line, this is what you're going to do, we'll take you in order of appearance. No, that's not how it goes. It doesn't go that way. They will come through you and say, hello, this is what you need to know. Tell us about Kasia.
Well, she was a masseuse. She still is an energy worker, and she's one of these people that kind of encouraged me along the way to step out and trust and experience the things I was feeling and be verbal about them. But her grandfather had come through and told her that a prophetic message about her father, that he would get lung cancer and that he would pass, and he gave a very specific date about when that would happen. And so, you know, I was just telling her the information. She was a friend also, so I didn't, you know, I always ask that the highest good be served whenever I do healing circles, and so there isn't any lower energies attracted or negativity. So what happened was that, so we did this reading, and a lot of specific information came through, and then she called me a couple years later, and she said, "Oh my God, Dr. Dan," she had moved to Northern California, but she said, "You are so good. You are so good. I can't believe it." I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, you know, I'd since forgotten, but she wrote it down, all this information. She says, it's exact. It's right on the nose. And, you know, he's in the hospital, and just like you said, he would resist treatment, and he would end up passing pretty quickly. And that's exactly what happened. And this is an interesting story because it reminds me of another story named with when her grandfather had come through and told her she had a brother, which she told me that, well, I don't have a brother, so I don't know what he's talking about. And I said, well, you know, I'm just telling you what he's telling me. And she said, okay. And the grandfather went on, and he said, look, you have a brother, and your mother put him up for adoption a year and a half before you were born. And this, you know, this is true. So she said, okay. Well, I said, look, don't look at me. Just, you know, take it for what it's worth. She went and talked to her mother, and she told her about the reading and everything, and her mother said, was pleased that this information from her father and stuff, until it came to the part with the brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, oh, by the way, Mom, he mentioned, Jaime was her grandfather's name, Jaime mentioned that I had a brother, and I didn't, you know, I don't have a brother. I don't know what that was about. And her mother's face went stone cold, and she stormed out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And so she dropped it, and then she brought it up later. And she said, Mom, I couldn't help but notice. I mean, you know, you had a big reaction there. And then she snapped around, and she said, it's none of those spirits' business, bleep business. They have no business telling you that information. Nobody knew that was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And then she ended up telling her it was true that she had a son, and she put him up for adoption, and her father didn't even know it at the time. So what was important about that and the other story with Kasia was, to me, it told me that, you know, because your mind can have doubt about what you're feeling and seeing, and what that told me was that I was not reading her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Or I wasn't feeling her energetically, because I'm very empathic that way. I feel things from people, because she didn't know.
That's right.
She didn't know. So, and it's important for the listeners to know, those people that just may get a little bit out there. Somebody was asking me about, well, I don't think that medium's very good and this and that. Do you think they're a fake? I said, no, they're not a fake. They're learning. They're, mm-hmm. they're getting some information, and the mind will have a tendency to want to reach and make more out of it, or put the pieces together. That's very a mental process, and that's when it closes down the connection. And that's the very thing that you need to overcome and learn, is that just to stay open and not be attached to the information.
Right,
so,
and that's so very important. Now, Daniel, I know we're just about out of time here. What is your website? Your book is Healing from Heaven, A Healer's Guide to the Universe. What is your website where people can go and check and find out more about you?
My website is healingfromheavenbook.com, so it's pretty easy.
Okay, healingfromheavenbook.com. I've been so delighted having you as a guest today. I wish you continuing success, and thank you for being a teacher that shares the wisdom of what you have learned. The book is delightful, the stories are there, and there is a charming story right at the end of the book about your delightful papillon dog. I just love it. Like I said, I just love animals, so it's a wonderful, wonderful story, and I won't give it away, but it is cute as it can be and very down-to-earth in the message that it gives. Daniel Ryan, well, thank you for being my guest.
Thanks for having me, Donna. I appreciate it, and you take care.
Thank you so much, Daniel. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away. Good things to share.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. By the way, have a pad of paper and a pencil or pen handy. I have got a yummy, yummy red hot chili recipe for you that I'd like to share. But before I do that, I want to give out our telephone number where you can give me a call if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. 0008. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I'll tell you what I perceive, and you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that may be of importance to you. With my guests today, I wanted to just make a couple of comments. Having been in the work of mind for so many years and been involved with counseling and the psychic area, all of this, it's been a major part of my life. I was delighted to know that Daniel was sharing so much information, and that's why his book is so, I think, valuable to add to one's library. The important thing when you are beginning to explore your own talents is that you recognize that they're going to be expressed through you in the way that is most appropriate for you. But part of that means that you must be willing to open your mind and your attitude to the way other people do their work. And I was very fortunate many years ago when I started doing my psychic development to first of all have a fabulous mentor who was the one that recognized my capabilities and talents because I didn't have a clue. And because of her, and her kitchen table was my classroom, and we sometimes would talk over the lasagna that she prepared, and she was just this wonderfully brilliant woman that had a heart as big as the universe, and for some reason, she gave me the best of what she had. And I'm so grateful for it. And she always was willing to be open to demonstrations of all kinds of the power of mind and of spirit. And in doing that, and in having that in my younger years, it was something that allowed me, and perhaps it was part of my personality and my disposition anyway, but I was always curious about how people worked. And many times I was surprised. Some people used tools. Some people actually would go into what we describe as trance. They would actually vacate themselves so someone else could come through them and speak through them. There were all kinds of things that people did. And I realized that there's no real purpose in trying to judge one thing being better than another. It is understanding whatever modality is the most comfortable for that person to work within. You see, your intuitive skills you have been born with, this is part of your survival kit. I wrote about this many years ago. It is part of who you are. Women have an inclination towards it with much more compatibility than men, because as nature developed the male-female, and I'll go to the caller in just a moment, as nature developed it, the male had more of the physical strength. He was the one that could go out and do all kinds of things. The woman was the caretaker. So this part of the female had to develop very, very, very strongly, because the survival of the species depended on it. So trust, read, be open, be receptive. You'll never regret it. This is Donna Siebel. I'll take this caller now. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. This is Molly, and I'm from Arizona.
Hi, I'm Molly. Where are you in Arizona?
I'm like in the Peoria area, and it's getting hot.
Oh, boy. Very hot. You know, it's been so many years since I've been to Arizona in June. I remember when I was there many years ago, I thought I was going to die. It was 115 degrees in the shade, and I thought, boy, this would not fare well with a deodorant commercial because mine's failing terribly. It was hot. Woo!
Yeah, when you're not used to it, it's a killer for sure, but I'm kind of used to it. I was born here, so I'm kind of got used to it.
Oh, yes, then you have an adaptation. I think one of my favorite experiences to recall, I was being hosted by a group, and this lovely woman who was very gracious having me staying at her home, she took me on a tour, and I don't remember now what part of Arizona I was in, but there was this old house. I'll share it with you quickly before we get started. There was this old Victorian house that she took me to, and it has been preserved just absolutely magnificently. Big house. And it had been sent to Arizona in the 1800s, I think by Sears, It was a Sears catalog house. Then you'd order your house. that was the the pre-built house section there in its early years. And she said it was so hot in Arizona, and around the upper floor and the bottom floor, there were verandas. There were the porches. And on the upper floor, we were told that during the summer, when it would get so hot, sheets were dipped in water, and you would wrap yourself in a sheet, and you'd go out on the balcony, and you would lay in that sheet to keep you cool. And that's how people withstood the heat of the Arizona summers back in the 1800s.
I've heard that that's how they used to stay cold, and I think a few people are still doing it.
I wouldn't surprise me if they don't have a fan or air conditioning. Aren't we spoiled? Think of those pioneers. Well, let's get down to business with you, Emily. What I'm looking at first of all is that you must continue your education. Apparently, you are feeling like you're at a crossroads, and you're not really. But what you're having to do now is select your priorities. That's very, very important, selecting your priorities. And you have to pause to be able to make your assessments and your evaluations. You have gotten into a patterning where you're trying to be super multitasker. It's having an effect on your health in the sense that you're not feeling rested. You've got too much going on. Your brain doesn't even shut off when you go to sleep. It is,
exactly.
Or I should say shut off. It doesn't tone down. Let me use that, because the only reason it's going to shut off is if you're dead. So it never shuts off. So the thing is, you've got to make it okay. And I said you've got to do this, because it needs to be done in a mindful way. You've got to make it okay that you do not have to be super multitasking female. Take a deep breath. Get into the habit of doing your meditation in the earlier hours. It's all right. You need the quiet. You have to go to bed earlier. I don't care how you do it. But you need to have the quiet. You absolutely love the quiet of the morning. And this is what you need. You need to put yourself first. And I think then you'll be able to figure out what you can discard. Now, these next 2 months, there's a lot of small stuff you're going to get rid of. A lot of things that are just little pity any things that are not significant. And you're going to be able to say, okay, I can let that go. I don't need to do that anymore. That's not a requirement. You're going to prioritize. And you've got two priorities that are very, very significant. One is your physical wellness, because the fatigue is really getting you down. And two, you need to look at where your inner self is going to need to put a focus on for career, because you have been agitated over the fact that you just are constantly concerned about money. And this is normal and natural. I mean, we've got a lot of things that are going on economically throughout the nation. All of this has an impact on us. But you need to know that part of that stress is because you're not being true to really what is most important to you. And it's going to take you about 2 years to totally get in the flow of what you wanted to do. Let's say you had always wanted to teach skiing up on the top of the Colorado Mountains. I'm just throwing out something here. And you go, gee, I've always wanted to do that. Well, maybe you have to go in and get training to become a teacher. Maybe you're a wonderful skier and this is the passion of your life and you'd love to do cross-country skiing as well as regular skiing, and you just love the environment. You just love the people. You love everything about it. All right, maybe you have to go to school to get a certification to do that. Maybe you have to put yourself in a different environment, locale-wise. Maybe you need to do some things, but you have to be okay with that. So you're getting rid of a lot of old stuff, dear, and I want you to just be patient with yourself. These next 2 months are powerful months for you if you will take the time to really be aware of yourself, what you want to do, and be honest with yourself. It's okay. You don't need to feel like you've got to keep taking care of other people. Now, Amy, I know we've got a break coming up. Will you stay with me?
Yes, I'll hang on.
All right, dear. You stay on the line. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break, a short break, for just a moment. Don't go away. When we come back, we're going to finish out a call. And if you wanted to call in, too, you can do that. 888-627-6008. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-627-6008. Emily, hello. What's your question for me, dear?
Well, this is Molly still.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was, I couldn't. Your voice is cutting out a little bit. It's Molly? Okay, you're still with me. What was your question for me, Molly?
Well, do you do medium readings? I have a feeling. I have a friend that's trying to give me a message, and I'm not hearing it clearly.
Is this a friend that has passed over?
Yes, about 15 years ago.
All right. What I would like for you to do is not try to force this. And what I would like for you to do is sit in meditation. That may be one of the reasons why you need to have this pattern. And you need to be in an environment where you're not going to be disturbed by a phone ringing or anything else. If you are aware that this friend that passed away, the time when they passed away is not an issue, and they are trying to convey something to you, what I'd like for you to do is just within your mind, or even sometimes you could be walking around the house. Maybe you feel the friend and say, all right, I'm aware of you, but I am having a challenge. But be at peace with this and ask her to show you through your mind, either with images or if there is a fragrance, to sort of let you know what it is she's trying to convey. It could be as simple, I'm not picking up anything really strongly, it could be as simple as her saying, I want you to know that you're loved. And that you're fine. I really think what she's wanting to do is to convey some information about someone that both of you knew. And she's wanting to make you aware. She's wanting to make you aware of this individual that needs some assistance. And what I'm becoming aware of now is that this is a critical condition. I believe this individual is going to need some medical care. And there's some other points. So you just need to make it okay, Molly, that you allow her to reach you in the best way she knows how, but also tell her, for some reason, I'm just not receptive, not that I don't want to know, I'm happy to know, and I welcome your presence, But we've got to figure out how you can get what you want me to know across so that I understand it.
Oh, you know, you hit it so right on the button because I recently met somebody that knew her, too. And she, and it's like, it's really strange, and I know there's a message for somebody or somebody down the line. So I'll do what you say, and I think maybe it'll come in more clearly. Maybe I just wasn't resting my mind enough to listen. So I think I'll just try to settle my mind more because you're right on the button. I can't sleep because my mind won't turn off, and I just got to learn how to just stop and just relax and do the meditation more. So, yeah, you
well, it'll make a tremendous. Yeah, it'll make such a difference in your life, Molly. It really, really will. But this is a process you're going through.
Right. Yeah, I got kind of out of the meditation. I used to do it on a normal basis, and I just kind of got out of it. It's just going back to that again. So, okay. Well, thank you so much, Donna. You really helped me a lot and relaxed me a little bit, and now I feel a little bit more calmer. So I do want to thank you for all your insight. Thank you
so much. Well, you're more than welcome. And this is my new time for the show, so if you have friends, tell them to tune in.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Molly. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone line to open 888-627-6008. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking about a colonel. The colonel is a lady. Beverly Thompson is going to be my guest. She interviewed this phenomenal woman. You're going to be finding out more about her tomorrow. This means a lot to me because for so many years in this country, there seemed to be an attitude that women should not be in the military. If they are, they should just be in a desk job. And the women that were the forerunners to show that women could share the same space as the men and do it well, now we have pilots, we have women generals, they're in the minority, but they're still there. Talent has nothing to do with sex. It is, you're male, female, great, but if you're talented, you should be able to use that talent. And this woman used hers in the area of nursing, and she was a forerunner for the women in the military today and a gracious, gracious woman. So you're not going to want to miss this. Okay, also, I wanted to say I have a recipe here. Whoops, doesn't look like I'm going to have time, so I'll have to save it for tomorrow. And remember, we have information on the guests that are coming up on the show right on bbsradio.com, station number one. And be sure you tell your friends about my new showtime. I absolutely love it. I love doing it early in the day, and if you're on the East Coast, you can listen during your lunch hour. It's just wonderful. I'm just so thrilled with this. Well, I've got to share something really, I know, whimsical with you, and it has to do with Gerber baby food. We all know about this. We see the ads on it. We've, you know, been raised where baby food is just what's there. They've been around forever, I think. Well, at some point in time, just about every adult in the United States and maybe in many parts of the world have tasted baby food. And, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it has no flavor. My Scottish Terrier loves the liver. He just thinks it's absolutely great stuff. Well, it's like a pate, for heaven's sake. Still doesn't taste good as far as I'm concerned. However, adults don't want to make a meal out of this kind of stuff, and many times when people get very elderly, the baby food is just perfect for them because it's easier for them to digest. Well, Gerber apparently had a learning curve with their food. They had a product called Gerber Singles, and in 1974, the company released this new product. It was small servings of food meant for single adults. Now, it was packaged in jars that were almost identical to those that were used for baby food. How big do you think that would be in the aspect of people going, woohoo, this is terrific. I think I want the same stuff. Well, it didn't take them very long to figure out that most consumers, unless they were less than a year old, couldn't get used to eating a pureed meal out of a jar, especially one that was labeled for singles. Psychological stuff here. And baby food for grown-ups was pulled from the marketplace shortly after it was put out. See, we consumers do make a difference, and that is the key. If you don't like something, you can walk with your financial power out of what you do not want to support. Well, this is Donna Siebel. My goodness, the hour has just gone by like the wind. I'm so delighted you were able to join me. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Do not deny the intuitive light that's inside you that is your natural heritage. Honor it, respect it, and use it. It adds a richness to your life that is beyond your greatest imaginative capacity. This is Donna Siebel. I'll be with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com, Station 1. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information.